The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
King Herod heard of the deeds of power, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah, and others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests, and the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved, yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guest, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Well now, isn't this a sunny summer situation we have today? It's not hard to wonder where in the world the good news is to be found. The story of the beheading of John the Baptist also is in a seemingly odd spot in the Gospel of Mark. In the last few weeks, we have heard consecutive stories of healing rather than murder. Jairus' daughter raised from the dead, the hemorrhaging woman suffering for 12 years. Even in the story of Jesus' rejection at home, he still healed a few. And last week, we heard Jesus' commissioning of the 12 disciples, telling them, if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the Jesus and his disciples that Herod Antipas, son of Herod the Great, the horrible Herod the Great, was hearing all about, that sparked deep within him an excruciating memory. Can't you just hear him? Oh no, don't tell me. This is my worst fear. It's got to be John the Baptist. Come back to life. No one has ever been so powerful, and no one has ever been so intriguing or interesting to listen to. never did quite understand what he meant by preparing the way of the Lord and making his paths straight. But I sure knew and understood what he meant when he said, repent. That's what he always said, repent, and your sins will be forgiven, Herod. My sin of colluding with Herodias to divorce my brother, then divorcing my own wife and marrying her. John really objected to my and Herodias' little scheme and said it was unlawful. My sin of accusing and imprisoning someone I knew to be innocent. My sin of exploiting my stepdaughter Salome, who in our gospel today is called Herodias, but her other name is Salome. My sin of being consumed by ambition, the need for admiration, and hunger for power. Why don't I have as much as my father? My sin of perpetuating the violence begun by that man. My sin of not following what I know in my heart to be right and true, missing the moment of grace by not turning toward the light and love of God. Can't you just hear him? The story of the disciples learning to teach repentance, forgiveness, and love, taking nothing for their journey except a staff, dovetails into the ruler Herod's painful memories and missed penitence and his present fears. It is not as incongruous as it first appears, for it invites us into the gospel pattern that describes a relationship between the bearers of God's message and the powers that be. Not just political powers, but also religious power structures, military power, judicial power, powers that undergird business and commerce and healthcare, as well as the use and abuse of personal power. This gospel story concerns itself with the exercise of any power that is unreflective, self-absorbed, and harmful to God's creation. A great many bearers of God's message from the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement, including Reverend Robin and Reverend Rachel, gathered at the General Convention in Austin, Texas, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Admit it, you thought I was going to say Presiding Bishop Michael Curry, didn't you? Our representatives grappled with difficult, painful, divisive issues, many of which have to do with how we ought to respond to suffering caused by how power is used or abused. I commend to you the Liturgy of Listening, a meditative service where many different bishops, male and female, shared the experiences of hundreds of people who were victims of sexual abuse and harassment within the church structure, shedding light and hope on this deeply hidden and insidious problem. Clergy and laity prayed, struggled, listened, argued, yes, they argued, and opened their hearts in order to discern what the Spirit was saying to the people and to craft the church's response. Many of the 500-plus resolutions had to do with the use of power, such as immigration policies and practices that are harmful to migrant women and children, honoring our military's commitment to immigrants who currently serve honorably in the military, gun violence as a public health issue, many different resolutions that support environmental stewardship and care of all creation from the effects of climate change and pollution, guidelines to protect, respect, and include transgender and non-binary persons was adopted, The new sanctuary church movement was affirmed, and a compromise that makes liturgies available to same-sex persons within their own parishes was adopted. Most exciting, at least for me, is the formation of a task force to develop a church-wide theological understanding of social justice so we can all be on the same page about what that means and how we are to respond. The ability to listen, learn, self-reflect, turning again and again toward the light, and making inroads big and small toward the right use of power are all precious moments of grace, complements of the Holy Spirit. It is not easy, and not everyone has the same understanding of what was right and true. Not everyone agrees with the outcomes, but the process is respectful and it is spirit-filled. So how do we fit into this sunny summer story and its gospel pattern describing a relationship between the bearers of the gospel and the powers that be? Yes, we are disciples in the Episcopal branch of the Jesus movement, bringing a message of repentance, love, and healing in what we do individually, what we do as a parish, and as supporters of the larger church work. But we also live in real human bodies with busy minds and beating hearts, hearts that get broken and hearts that feel deeply. Perhaps we do not always do all those things we know and understand to be right and true for us. Perhaps we are also Herod, at one moment using his power to accuse, imprison, and execute, and the next reflecting as painful memories, allowing them to wash over and impact him and change him. Or Salome, awakening to the power and the pain of abuse. Or even Herodias, so consumed by hatred and selfishness that she is oblivious to her spiritual condition and her abuse of power. Where is the good news in all this? The really good news, the really great news, is whatever position we as the church and as individuals find ourselves in, we are not alone. Whether we are out healing and casting out demons, or we are having trouble getting out of bed each day, we have the choice at each moment to turn toward the light. Being in relationship with God, trusting God is continually reaching out to us and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in and through us and the community is our assurance that we can and will use our powers and even our powerlessness in a way that is self-reflective, generous, and protective of all God's creation. Our collect today is our prayer of power. Most merciful God, grant that we may know and understand what things we ought to do, and also may we have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Amen.